Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hello, everyone. We are Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, and hosting today's show is Reginald Clements, who is a mentor in Missouri prison for soon-to-be-released incarcerated individuals. So let's welcome the host, Reginald Clements.
Hello, thank you, Leona, for that introduction. And I appreciate everyone that is taking our time out of their busy day and schedule to listen to us and to take it, hopefully call in to 657-383-1630, because everything that we're talking about is about things that are happening right now in real time. And my name is Reginald Clements, and the name of the show is Reginald Clements Speaking on Reentry 2030. That's Speaking on Reentry 2030. You can look up Reentry 2030 on the internet. And we're going to be putting out more information in addition to that information as
this call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Moving forward to do our part on this end when it comes to criminal justice reform. And the overall goal in my heart and in the heart of many of those that I work with is to bring down the crime rate in a responsible way and to reduce the prison population in a responsible way by turning our prisoners who are responsible, productive members of the community. And what my personal interest is one, I like seeing people get out of prison and staying out of prison. I hate seeing people come back in prison. And also, I have family and loved ones out there that want the crime rate to drop so that they can be safe, so that they can be happy. I would love to see happy, wholesome neighborhoods. And it's definitely possible because that's what's going on in a lot of places in the majority of the world. Majority of the world does not have the crime rate that we have in the prison population that we have. So it's possible to rehabilitate people. A lot of other countries are doing it. But we have to quit mass incarceration for profit. We have to move away from that perspective and dynamic. And there are people that are moving away from that within the Department of Justice, within the Federal Bureau of Investigations, within the Missouri Department of Corrections with this reentry program. So with that said, I'd like to get further into some details about the reentry program and let you know what it is that I personally do when it comes to counseling clients as a mentor. We have mentors and facilitators. Mentors are individuals who have adequately been trained in rehabilitation, who have taken adequate amount of rehabilitative classes and courses to the extent that I can, as a mentor, and I was a facilitator in another organization program called ITC, Intensive Therapeutic Community, and that's a highly regimented and disciplined community where it's almost like a Betty Ford clinic with the strictness of military guidelines, where you got to make your bed up at 5 o'clock in the morning with a 45-degree angle fold, two-finger fold from the top, two fists down. And it has to be crisp and straight throughout the day, and you can't lay down and go to sleep until 9:30 at night. From 5 in the morning, 9:30 at night, you're taking classes. Rehabilitation classes, and I got a lot out of that program. But because of that training, that's what qualifies me to be a mentor within the reentry program. And those skills and those abilities and that training and the experience I had in the 13-month ITC program, it turned my life around and it gave me greater self-control and help me understand my temper, help me understand my addiction.
You have 1 minute left.
To understand the effects of pain and the suffering that I've had in the past and how to deal with those resentments in the future so that those resentments wouldn't hurt me and I could heal and I would no longer be a hurt person, because hurt people hurt people. And that's what we'll get off into and talk about when I get a chance to call back. Leona?
Yes, and we have a caller, so we might not be able to take the call right now. So when you come back on, we will have the caller speak. Do you want to state your name, please? 912?
Hey, peace and blessings, love and service. This is your guy, Brother Hess. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. Yes, sir. I'm Brother Hess, man, from the POPS movement, Prisoners Organizing Peace Systems. And I just sent the message over to the evidence-based prison in Georgia, because them guys are working on the same thing.
He will be calling back in again. As you know, with the penal system, they don't allow you to have a peaceful conversation. They, every 10 or 15 minutes, they have to call back in again. So Reginald will be back on in a few seconds, a few minutes, and we will pick up where we left off. And Brother Hess, thank you so much for coming on, and you will have a chance to finish what you were saying when Reginald does return.
That sounds good to me, my sister. Thank you so much for having
me. In the meantime, can you tell a little bit about yourself? You mentioned what you do.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just a regular old street advocate, man. I did 27 years behind the walls of Georgia prisons, and I started a program called Prisoners Organizing Peace Systems, and the acronym is POPS. And basically, we're just a movement where we work with guys who are behind the walls to begin to start creating programs inside of their own prison dormitories, inside of their own impoverished black communities, brown communities, white poverty communities, because we are the healing. We are the solution. But sometimes we got to get deep in the book, so we got to get deep into the programs of recovery, the programs of reentry, the programs of rehabilitation, to learn our spiritual identity, and then begin to state these steps and pass it on to somebody else. Each one reach one, then we teach one. And so that's all we do, man. We just POPS movement, man. We are family of members all across the United States in every poverty-stricken community you can find, in every prison you can find, man. You'll find us working these same six steps that I bet this brother right here working right there on the front lines of the Missouri prison system.
I would like to have you come back on the show sometime too, Brother Hess. And also, Reginald's back with us. And this is what we need. We need national intervention. We need national unity and solidarity. These are all the things that we need. So I'm going to let you and I'm going to let Reginald finish talking about whatever it is you want. I'll put myself on mute because this is going to be very interesting. We are going to have others calling in too. Hopefully one of them is the founder of Save Our Sons, SOS, consulting agency as well. Her name is Kimberly Matarian, and she's going to be coming on another time, but she's going to briefly talk about a program called MAP. And brother, you might be talking about that right now. MAP is around the country. It hasn't hit all the states yet, but it's a program that's allowing prisoners to be released, long-term prisoners to be released. So Reginald, you can pick up where you left off, and then Brother Hess can say something as well. I'm going to put myself on mute while you're talking.
That's the Brother Hess, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My last name is Hester, H-E-S-T-E-R. So all the guys in prison know me as Bonk or Brother Hess, H-E-S-T.
H-E-S-T.
Hi, Brother Hess. Hi, Unc. Good to meet you. My name is Kadir. I would say that's my Muslim name, right? And that's what a lot of brothers call me. You know what I'm saying? But most people out of society know me by Reginald Clemens, because I was on death row at one point, right? Good to meet you, brother. And I'm saying I'm struggling, not just for my humanity, but for the lives of others, right? And what I'm working on as my part, my contribution, and I'm saying, and I don't believe the struggle needs leaders. It needs people that take action and taking action strategically, right? So right. One thing I'm looking to map out that you might be able to help with from out there, because it's about getting that 5 years in on freedom. Because if a person walked out 5 years of freedom, they not finna reoffend. And we get to that point, right? And that's what I want to do is I want to put together a structure, and that's what I'm struggling with right now, is putting together a structure with or working with the Reentry 2030 program, right? Put together a structure where we do a handoff to people on the outside that are going to help continue that rehabilitation on the street.
Okay.
Not just a parole.
I'm sorry. Brother Reginald, are you still there?
With this individual is on their caseworker list or they life coach file or however a person want to classify. But the overall goal is for that person to have somebody to lean on, at least two or three people.
Reginald, you said something he didn't hear, and he asked you to repeat it.
Maybe monitored and recorded.
Brother Hess, can you repeat the question you asked Reginald to repeat something?
Yes, ma'am. Comrade, you had went out, but you were speaking on how you want to put together a structured program out there, you know what I'm saying, so all of us out here in society can begin to work together with you all behind the walls, and it's the reentry program, Reentry 2030 is what I've gotten so far. But then you was giving specifics into exactly how your vision is of this program working as far as what you want us out here to actually be involved in doing,
right.
And that's when your soundbite cut out.
All right. Now, what we've been doing, right, is putting together an evaluation package that evaluate where a person at on their education, on their trade, their work history, and all that, right? And from there, we can figure out where we need to fill in the gaps on their addiction treatment, on their rehabilitation, on their, from criminal behavior, from their aggression, from anger management, and have that mapped out all in this file, that's an evaluation file, that gets handed over along with them before they leave prison. To the people on the outside, it's going to be helping them walk down the next 5 years of their life.
So basically what you're saying,
on the outside, right?
Right.
Not a halfway house, nothing, because we need a person to hit the ground running and have the support to hold them up, because it's scary stepping outside of prison. And there's a lot of people, man, when they short time or they're about to get out of prison, they start getting high and stuff because they panicking.
Right.
And they really don't have a plan. Their plan is I'm finna get out, but they don't have a real plan that's tangible where they feel like they got some type of support or something. You got some people, man, that was orphans or that was in the Department of Youth Services and stuff like that when they came to prison. That's why they came to prison, because they went from foster care and all that to juvenile to the prison system. What you do for a person like that? We got to take into consideration the individual circumstances. Because not everybody is going out and getting out of prison and going home to a wholesome family that's well put together. That's not why they ended up in prison in the first place.
Clearly.
So,
most definitely.
That's where,
let me ask you a question.
What we're doing now is we got an evaluation packet put together, right?
Okay.
To evaluate prisoners here. Then there's a five-year quarterly evaluation packet where every quarter we evaluate what's going on with the prisoner.
Okay, Reginald, he had a question. I guess he's kind of speaking kind of low at his end. So you're not hearing him when he tries to ask.
Okay, I'll keep my answer short then, sorry.
No, just maybe try to hear what he's saying. And Brother Hess, if you can speak a little bit louder, that'll be good too.
Okay, y'all. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, now, comrade, what I appreciate that so much, Sister Queen, And comrade, I definitely hear where you're coming from. And what was your Muslim attribute again?
Qadir, Q-A-D-I-R.
Okay, Q-A-D-I-R. All right, man. Peace and blessings to you, Aki, man. It's an honor to be able to be on these airways with you, brother, and to hear what you're doing from behind those walls, man. That's so commendable, brother. Because a lot of people get inside, and you know they only think about getting out. You know what I'm saying? They rarely do you find brothers able to extend themselves. You know what I'm saying? To be able to help others. You know what I'm saying? To want to see others out before they get out themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like a one of those things we got in the black community where I got to step on you in order to raise myself up to the next ring of the ladder. And really, we can all rise together, you know what I mean? But anyway, I don't want to be too extended. I just wanted to ask you, I'm hearing what you were saying. Uh-huh.
Yeah, please be as extensive as you want to be, bro, and ask whatever questions you want to ask. Because the questions that you ask and the comments that you perform help stimulate the minds and the souls of others.
Inshallah, as my Muslim brother say, if God wills, as my Christian community says, alhamdulillah, well, definitely all praise is due to the Most High. And, going forward, brother, like I hear what you're saying as far as the evaluation packet, and I feel like that's phenomenal. And I wanted to ask you a question about, because I know you said they need to get out and they feet need to be running. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm looking at the guys here in Georgia's prison system. Cats that I'm helping behind them walls, they're in there, they're on crank and ice. They in there on this synthetic drug that they call, I don't know what they call it, strips or something like that, some kind of pieces of paper. And like they in there inside the walls trying to self-medicate themselves for the pain of being incarcerated, or the pain of being away from their families and without a job, or the pain of what it is that they did to commit the crime, but they ain't getting into no what we would call psychological, sociological programs to be able to retrain their mind. And so what I have been finding real hard is for these guys to get out and, like you say, get their foot on the road to running. And so what I'm striving to do now is back up a few steps, because they coming out here, you know, getting geeked up because they was geeked up on their way out the door. They still want to get high on synthetic, or they want to get high and drunk on this, that, and another. And so it's like, man, we got y'all places to go. We got y'all opportunities, but I'm vouching for you, and you come out here and embarrassing me. And so it's like, man, I done became, you know, real selective now in trying to help so many people, because they need to go through a screening process. And you said that an evaluation packet. So we'll know where the areas are. And some of these people, and I wanted to ask you this, do you think that it may not be wise for some of these people to be programmed to come out here to society and go directly into a drug rehabilitation center, a treatment center, or some form of a transitional center to save their money up and to find them a mentor like those of us that's willing to walk this path with them? But it's only so much that I can do, so I need some other brothers, some other sisters across the nation that done been down before, that understand the transitioning process, and that's willing to walk a mile in their shoe. And just like a junk, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to talk down on nobody that's addicted to drugs or alcoholism, because I'm the biggest J I ever knew before. Praise God. I thank God for my recovery today. But like, just like a junkie goes into recovery and gets a sponsor and then gets the phone numbers of everybody at that meeting where they're doing 90 meetings in 90 days, it's like now that you have a mentor, a sponsor, you have other fellow recovering addicts and alcoholics, as well as what we're talking about, fellow recovering reentry participants that's willing to mentor them and be able to be on call for them. Like, we can build like a 12-step type program like we do for recovery with this unit of people. Because, man, I'm telling you something, man, it feel real bad to put thousands and thousands of dollars into preparing for these folks to come out here. They come out here and get these vouchers, and within 3 days, man, they off to the races like some hound, like what they call them, greyhounds, running around the racetrack, you know, trying to follow the rabbit. You know what I'm saying? When really it's just a hide. ain't going to never stop. You know, like they say, man, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. So I yield the floor to that question, brother.
Well, he's coming on. Hello, Leona. This is Joe. Can you hear me?
Peace and blessings, brother Joe. We hear you loud and clear. Come on in.
Okay, so Leona's not here?
Oh, he is, but he may have made his call been kind of fading in and out a little bit here and there.
No, I'm talking about Leona, the one who owns the show.
Oh, yeah, she most definitely. Yeah, she the one that opened your mic.
Okay. In any case,
everybody's talking at the same time, so if we can, if you can hear the other person talking, if we can just hold off until they finish and then go on to the next person. Okay. Joe, you were just saying something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi, and I just got off a show talking to a so-called therapist. Who knows if she is or not. And then I saw your show, Leona, and then I was thinking, you know, what people really need when they're incarcerated, of course, is advice and consultation. But from my experiences, being on Blog Talk Radio, talking to so-called therapists, counselors, relationship counselors, the people who need the help from the social workers and those who are trained in psychology, et cetera, They better beware because those people who are so-called trained in psychology and psychiatry, they probably need help themselves.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's 'cause anybody can be a sociologist, anybody can become a psychologist, anybody can become especially some sort of life coach or relationship counselor because you don't need to be certified and you don't need to have any kind of college degree. So you can just pick your butt up and say, you know what, I'm a counselor, I'm a coach, and go through 2 years of junior college, maybe, I'm not sure, or definitely 4 years of college to get a degree, and now all of a sudden you're a therapist. But do you have what it takes to actually offer help to those who need it? I doubt it. Just because you read a book, passed some tests, got a degree – doesn't mean that you're qualified to deal with people who are suffering emotionally and psychologically, in my opinion. So I'm just hoping that the people who are in that field, the human health field, I'm hoping that they're actually qualified.
I want to say something to that, Joe, and then I'm going to allow Reginald and Brother Hess to finish what they were talking about. But one of the things is you're right. That's why we have mass incarceration. I asked a therapist one time, a psychologist one time, talk to an individual that was in his high school years, his 10th grade or 11th grade. I asked her to try to sit down with him and evaluate him because I noticed that the person had some psychological issues he was going through. And the next time I saw her, she said she talked with him and he was just going through the normal teenage problems that most teenagers have. Well, it was less than a couple of years after that that the person went into a deep depression and committed an offense, a fatal wound, because he was just experiencing what most adolescents experience in high school. When somebody should ask somebody to check someone out because they're having psychological issues and they're supposed to be trained, and she never came forward after that to say that this person had been going through some, because they don't want to be embarrassed that they weren't doing their job or didn't know how to do their job. That's why anybody that does substance abuse counseling is somebody that has had, as Reginald mentioned earlier, an alcohol problem and has been able to overcome on their own. A social worker, somebody that can relate to them because they came from cultural backgrounds. They came from backgrounds where they were single parents or they had children or they were married or they had abuse in their families or they had an incarcerated individual in a relative, a friend. People, or they came from a certain specific race. People don't understand it. We've got, the United States consists of immigrants. They're trying to keep immigrants from coming now because they're all of a sudden they're too good to remember the days when they themselves were immigrants. But we have people in this country who came over here, and we should know that when somebody goes to school for social work, they should be taught about cultures. When somebody goes to train or to help somebody that's an alcoholic, they should be able to understand what the person's going through because they've been there, done it, and overcame. But we have a lot of people in this country that have this mentality that they're better than everybody else, that they know it all, and that's why we have mass incarceration, which every other country in the world is looking at right now and saying they're laughing because this country doesn't know how to keep their prisons empty. They don't know how to help these people in the communities. Look at this person from Maine, this mass murderer that killed himself after. They're so busy talking about how bad it was for the victims that they forget this person was a victim. The people that released him after 2 weeks in a psych eval were supposed to be trained professionals.
1 minute left.
And they ended up releasing somebody before their time was due to be released. And he ended up shooting, 20 people and hurting 60?
Excuse me. This phone, my phone's going to hang up. I'm going to try to keep my statement brief so that everybody have a chance to talk. And what it is I want to ask, is this Joe from Montana?
Yes.
All right, Joe, I'm glad you called in because the idea that you asked me about, you're kicked out there, throughout there, I give credit where credit is due. When you said something about having a hotline for prisoners on parole, that ties right into what it is that we're talking about. Now, something that I've been kicking around in my head, and I definitely would love to have an opportunity to kick something like that off and push for something like that.
Thank you for using Securit. Goodbye.
Okay, we'll pick up on that when he comes back on again. Joe, I don't know if you remember the conversation you had with him back then.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I remember,
He's going to be calling back in again, and perhaps you can pick up where you left off, or he can pick up where he left off on that. Brother Hess, I'd like to have you give the audience the information you have on how people can connect with you or your movement or organization that you have going on right now. And we'll have you back on another time where you can talk more about it. But for now, just let the audience know, again, what you do and how they can reach out to you.
Peace and blessings. They can just reach out to me through you. For right now, I want to be a participant, man. I just like what Joe was saying too. If I may, Sister Queen, what Joe was saying was so important because, we're in the grassroots movements. We're on the front line of the prison systems, on the poverty-stricken American communities, from the white, black, and brown communities, and the reservations. And what bro is saying is that it's the same thing that I'm saying, it's the same thing that you're saying, the same thing that we're all saying. Our people need psychological help. But the people that's supposed to be giving the psychological help need psychological help. So
exactly.
If the help needs help, where do we begin to really find people like Viktor Frankl, the one who went through the Holocaust as a psychologist and utilized his ability to understand psychology and his theoretical orientation in order to establish what was called logotherapy? How did the guy come with Mr. Burns and them come with, cognitive behavioral therapy, people who understood that
transactional analysis.
Yes, exactly, my brother. So become more informative, and we have to find people who love the field of psychology, who love the field of theories of psychology, that's ready to put them in practice and understand where a person is at in life and what level they need to be able to obtain certain psychological help from. There are stages to this. Eric Erickson, the mastermind in child psychology, he understood that there are phases of development. And if you miss out on some of those phases, 13, 15, 25 years later, you're in what is called arrested development. And so for people to be able to touch home and touch bases on that right there, they have to have a thriving drive for this field. But Brother Joe, I just want to salute you, brother, man. You came with the truth then.
You know what? What Joe is talking about, Joe, is a show in itself. It might be a series in itself. This is something that we have to talk about on a regular basis. And I'd love to do that. Right now, where Reginald's paying for these calls, I'm going to turn that back over to him. But again, Joe and Brother Hess and also Reginald, we're going to be talking about this because what Joe is talking about right now is very, very important, not only to those incarcerated, but to those in the communities and that are about ready to enter into prison if they don't get the help they need. So, Reginald, pick up where you left off. And Joe and Brother Hess and Reginald, I'm going to set up a show specifically for mental health issues in the United States. And then I'll let all of you know so you can come on and we can have a complete show about that. Thank you, Joe,
sounds
for bringing
good.
That up. Thank you for bringing
sure.
it up. It's very important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what happened? Did my app fail on me again? Hello? Seems like I'm still connected. Anybody there?
Yeah, we all here. We're just trying to give Reggie, hopefully Reggie, just asking for God to
something.
Come in and fetch Brother Reggie's phone.
Yeah, Reggie got cut off. So, yeah, Leona, I agree with you. I'm sure Brother Hess does, too, and I'm sure Reginald does, too. The caregivers... how efficient are they? I doubt if they're as very as empathetic towards those who are incarcerated or those who need mental help, emotional help, as much as they should be. They probably picked up, the newspaper one day and said, you know what, I think I'd like to be a therapist or I'd like to be in counseling. And then they went ahead and got a bachelor's degree. And now they're, you know, legally they're, you know, they can be engaged in the area of psychology. But they're not customer service people. They're there with the responsibility of trying to turn around the emotional turmoil that people have in order to straighten out their lives so that these people can function and feel good, feel better, do better. But I would suspect that a lot of therapists and psychiatrists aren't up to the task. That's my suspicion.
Absolutely, man. Great observation. And I want to just remind everybody, we are live, and we got Brother Reginald Clemens live with us this evening, man, and he's talking about putting together a structure for reentry 2030. And he wants to be able to have an opportunity for us out here in what they call the free world to begin to think about what is an evaluation packet that needs to actually pinpoint the special needs for the incarcerated community. The incarcerated community are now coming out of prison at a larger rate because of understaffing across America, because of the American justice system is removing funds from the penal community. And by removing funds from the penal community, now that opens up a gateway for the convicted community to now reenter society, but we want to lower the recidivist rate. And so Brother Reginald Clemens, Brother Kadar, he has come with a program to provide us with what we need as far as a curriculum to go by, an evaluation package. Come on in here, brother.
I know we're closing the gap for us, brother. Are you hearing me on?
Yeah, we hear you now. Come on in here, family.
Okay.
Yeah, this is something that I know will close the gap because we have a lot of unsaid organizations on the outside pulling for criminal justice reform. And then we have a lot of programs within the prison system pulling for criminal justice reform, right, that are working towards reducing the recidivism rate. But there's a disconnect where there's not an evaluation or a collective handoff, right? And that's what it is that I want to do is create a connection between the two so that we can streamline and create some type of continuity in that transition process before the person is even released. And then Joe from Montana, right? Like I said, he talked about having a hotline. And you said something about us not having something the equivalent of 12 steps for prisoners getting out of prison. And unfortunately, one of the things that create that problem is they say prisoners can't be around other prisoners, right? But in order to have a 12-step circle, you have to have prisoners around other prisoners. Well, here I mentioned the ITC program. That's what it is. It's based upon the 12 steps, but it applies the 12 steps to criminality. But we can't continue that on the outside because they say people on parole can't be around people on parole. We need to reevaluate that rule.
Yeah. I also would like to offer a way for Reginald Brother Hatch, Liana, and anybody else affiliated with this, how they can get a very quick $500 million of funding to their particular program. And I just discovered this. What you do, you create a 501(c), and then you tell the government that you're going to locate the headquarters in either the Ukraine or Israel, and you get an easy $500
million. I'll tell you one thing. First of all, I'm not a money person. I'd rather recruit the right people from the universities that are going to school for it to give them an opportunity to earn their internships and to get the experience. The money is where a lot of these organizations are getting to do nothing. They have these nonprofit organizations. They claim to help, just like the ACLU, and they don't do anything. You go on the websites of a lot of these people, and you see how they claim to do so many things, but when you contact them, they can't help.
Be monitored and recorded.
So that's why I know what these organizations are like, and it's all about money with them.
Well, I just said that as a joke, just in case people aren't.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say there was a joke because people who aren't aware of what Joe Biden is doing nowadays, you know about the war Russia, the war with Russia with Ukraine, and the war of Israel and Hamas. Well, he's just allotted over $100 billion, I think it was, to go towards the Ukraine and Israel. So that's why I said that joke. If you put your headquarters located in Ukraine or Israel, you'll get an easy $500 million.
Yeah, really. Joe, I'd like to say something real quick. Joe, you would be the type of person, I think, that would be good to start something like this and use that funding to do exactly what Reginald's talking about so that you can monitor these prisoners coming together upon release to put these type of programs together. You came up with this idea that everyone's in agreement with. But it's just as Reginald said, when they come out, they're not allowed to be around other prisoners. But if they're all working together for the same goal, achievement, then all they need is somebody that can be there, that can be an organization that can get that kind of permission to bring them all together on the outside.
It should be something that allows prisoners to come together in a group counseling session counsel one another. And a council group where we can have a round robin around rehabilitative issues when it comes to criminality, because people are wrestling with being former gang members and the pressures of those gangs who will, I'm saying, seriously hurt people or hurt somebody in your family or somebody that you love. How do you maneuver and navigate through that? So, and that's something that can be done through a round robin. They can't teach you that at Harvard or Yale. You can't sue that street knowledge or experience. So that's where prisoners do need to work together. Or former convicts that have been released on parole need to be able to work together in order to navigate towards being responsible members of the community. And it is real, because
that's
people
right.
who are into criminality, man, they don't care nothing about no parole rule.
No.
That rule only prevents people who want to change their life from working with other people who want to change their life, where I can't have a sponsor that understands me.
You know, Franz Dow from Amsterdam, he's a former 27-year warden, and he's on vacation right now with his wife. But he's been coming on every Wednesday to talk about the work that he's been doing with the United Nations, but also as a former warden, and he's been in the U.S. prisons. He sees the problems, and he's working right now with people in Texas on a lot of these projects. These are the type of people that we need to recruit to lead the way for these things that you're talking about, Reginald, the things that Brother Hess mentioned, the things that that Joe mentioned. And Joe, he's been talking about these things for a while. It would be somebody like him, you know, somebody like Franz Dow and others like that, to try to come together and make this happen. Those are the ones that know.
Speaking of Rosenberg, he is one of the people that helped start this reentry program back in 2012. So it has roots and it has reach, and it has a history and a track record. But the thing is that track record hasn't been getting long, and that's something we're working towards is being able to keep track of success data and failure data, so we'll know what works and doesn't work. But yeah, Dunzel Rosenberg, he helped start reentry. And like Leona said earlier, I've been paying for these phone calls, so it would be a great help if somebody could donate some money to help with the phone calls. They're 5 cents a minute. And I'm going to keep making them. If I got to pay for it out of pocket, so be it. Because it means so much to me, and I'll skip a meal or do what it is I have to do to stretch my hygiene items in order to make sure I can make this call once a week.
It's important. It is important, Reginald. And like I said, the DOC should be allowing to help with some of these things, because right now the program that you guys are working on, the Reentry 2030, these programs are actually volunteer programs for you guys, but they get funding. The DOC around the country gets funding for the kind of programs that you're doing right now. The thing is, what they do, they have a director of volunteer services that gets paid to recruit volunteers to do the jobs that the Department of Corrections gets paid to do. They get funded to do. So they're saving money when they get volunteers to go in and do workshops, when they get volunteers to go in and do all kinds of different programs. They should be giving you guys some funding to be participating.
There's funding there. It hasn't been fully distributed just yet. They say they set aside $30 million for the state of Missouri for the Reentry 2030 program. Now, I applaud the Governor Mike Parson for signing on to it, and I applaud the Director of the Missouri Department of Corrections and Precise for also signing on to it, which has given us clearance to build things out. But we haven't seen, again, full access to that funding just yet. So everything that we're doing right now is sweat equity based, and we're making sacrifices like I'm making right now, but we don't get recognition as individuals who are working to run the program. We don't get certificates and we don't get credit hours or vocational hours. That's something that's being worked on, but I believe that people should see and have an opportunity to know that there are prisoners working towards rehabilitation. And instead of, I see, because everybody got this image of prisoners in love after lockup and 90 days in. There's more to the prison mentality and rehabilitation in the prison environment than conduct violations and grievance complaints.
This is where the media should come in when there's programs like that, and they should at least talk about the programs that initiated and established by some of the prisoners. They should come in and they should report some of these things instead of just reporting the negative to put fear in people. There are good things going on in the prisons by the incarcerated population that doesn't even get acknowledged because the media is not acknowledging it unless there's a riot or a hunger strike.
And we're not going to be able to start moving towards solutions until we start highlighting the solutions we have. And that this program is one of those solutions. The ITC program is, as a matter of fact, ITC is heavily based up on the 12 steps. And as a matter of fact, I know when I was was in ITC, one of the most profound moments for me.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
This, Michael Johnson video, and he talks about the 12 steps, and he goes through the 12 steps, where he talked about how we as addicts and alcoholics and people who have criminal propensities don't feel like we deserve anything good. So we gravitate towards negative things and gravitate towards bad things. First,
that's
we
right.
have to feel like or believe that we deserve something better.
That's right. That's real. Hey, bro, man. Hey, man. I want to give a shout-out, man. I want to give a shout-out to that boy Michael Johnson, man, straight out of Detroit, Michigan, man. That's one of my favorite speakers, man, in the world, man. Y'all can find him up under Michael Johnson, man, the motivationalist. Yeah.
What about Michael Johnson?
Yeah, that's one of the greatest motivational speakers that came from behind the wall.
Down to earth, very down to earth speaker. What you get out of it, brother?
Man, I think that's the most phenomenal speaker in America right now. Man, the brother came from behind the bars, man, got his psychology degree, got his sociology degree, got his criminal psychology courses. The brother done went to motivational speaking training. Brother done took the courses that made him an addiction specialist. And he came back and took everything that hurt him in life, and he used it to create a platform. Now this brother sells a 50-minute lecture or a 50-minute speech on a DVD disc for over $250. And people are paying for these DVDs all across the world now. Y'all can find him online, Michael Johnson, man, the motivationalist.
Okay, I want to interrupt just for a minute. We got a caller, 470. You want to state your name, please?
How you doing? My name is Raheem. I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay, Raheem, would you like to say something? Please feel free to.
Oh, yes. I definitely want to tap in regards to the reentry situation and the negligence on behalf of the Department of Corrections in our state. What we have experienced, inmates that have come together. They have created a program similar to the same programs that you're talking about, even this going as far as grabbing the community resources to help with the developmental stages on the outside as far as the community living and the needed resources. But the Department of Corrections, what did you say?
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
He'll be calling back in again. He wanted to know what the name of the program was that you were talking about.
Okay, the name of the program is the Positive Outreach Development, and we call it the POD, P-O-D. And the POD program was created within the institution, and what we did was we started with the outside connections that brought in the meaningful resources that came in with the motivation, that came in with the inspiration that the guys would need in the same aspect that you spoke about as far as bridging the gap. And what it's designed to do is the mentoring program that we have here up under the evidence-based programming will guide the returning citizens from the inside out. Once you get assessed on the programming level inside of the institution, upon your reentry.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted
on.
To say Reginald is back on again, and you were talking about these things, but he didn't hear it because he wasn't on. Also, Reginald, did you say?
I just wanted to get the name of the organization that he was talking about. Right. Where the brother, he said some people in prison, some prisoners got going on there.
Yeah, he mentioned the name. Can you can you repeat the name of the organization you were talking about?
It's the Positive Outreach Development, or the POD.
Positive Outreach Development for the...
We also called it the POD for short, the acronym POD.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, for the POD. Okay, positive. Repeat it again so Reginald can hear.
Positive Outreach Development for the POD.
Yeah, the acronym is POD, but it stands for Positive Outreach Development. And this was originally created by a group of inmates, and they went as far as to gather all of the meaningful resources that they could, and they were channeled in under in April of this year, the Second Chance Initiative was signed by Governor Kemp in the state of Georgia. And this proclamation allowed for each institution to come up with an initiative that they could think of that would assist with the recidivism aspect. And what that does was that in turn brought upon a great program that individuals could use as a channel to assist them, like a hand that you're holding from the inside out. You would be turned over from your group of mentors from the inside to a group of mentors on the outside who already understood what your assessment was as an individual and what it was going to take for
exactly.
Your
hey, brother Raheem, thank
yes,
you so
sir.
Much for calling in, brother. Thank you so much for that information. Because that's exactly, they already got the model right there.
Right.
That's what it is, and I'm definitely going to see. I want to get information about their model and their structure and everything. So please continue talking. I'm sorry.
Okay. And just a note, on November the 18th, if anyone is located in the Metro Atlanta area, it will be a community interest meeting at South Lake Mall at the 404 Sports Bar and Grill, which is owned by a ex-offender who is out doing phenomenal work. And he's given that venue for us to engage the communities with what we're doing in order to gain the support, just like it was spoke about earlier, the media. The media aspect has been declined.
The facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Has been declined the privilege to come in on the aspect of recording, but we know that video footage from inmates is often leaked out for purposes of entertainment, but only just depicting the violence and the negativity that goes on within the system. And what happens is we have run into a roadblock within those institutions from the administrative standpoint, because it really doesn't have a funding one, because it's generated by the offenders. But now they're starting to drop the ball on it in the aspect of the programming and the curriculum as line of it, because these guys really need to get the, like you said, the 12-step part of it. They have to have this in order to have that mindset to be handed over to the outside force. So when you are received by those mentors on the outside, you're not just a person handed over. You're already reprogrammed for what it's going to take for you to survive in society. All the way to the aspect of, like, and you all hit a beautiful point about ex-offenders not being able to congregate or be around each other on the outside. Well, that's kind of a contradiction in itself, because if you assign an ex-offender to report to a probation or parole course class that's held on the outside, they're in the same area together. So if you can allow it in that aspect, why can't you allow it in other positive aspects that will help in the development and the reduction of these of this recidivism rate? We need communities developed around the country. We outline these as reentry ecosystems. These reentry ecosystems need to be an area where these guys can understand what quality of life and life skills are required to sustain a successful life out there. Because if you have a guy that's been gone 30 years, he obviously, unless he has, you know, the upkept of, you know, illegal devices and technology, he's not really afforded the right information on how he should survive out there, how he needs to. Go ahead.
Hey, so a real important point, right? What would be the point of contact with somebody on the outside in order to plug into the network of positive outreach development?
Black Lives Matter, NAACP, National Action.
What's the contact information to get in touch with Positive Outreach Development?
We have our connector is Dr. Diana Watley. If you're on social media on Instagram, it's at Diana Watley. The email address is positiveoutreachdevelopment23@gmail.com. There's also a telephone number.
Positive Outreach Development 23@gmail.com. Positive Outreach Development
23, the number
23.
23,
okay.
Yes. And
all
what
right.
We're doing.
Because the thing is, because this is what I'm gonna try to do is I'm gonna try to have the people I'm in communication with in Missouri that's out on the outside who's willing to help. I'm gonna try to put them in touch with you all, right? So that we can bounce off of y'all model, because y'all have
right.
Exactly what it is that we talk about. We want to put together here in Missouri.
Right, and that's the important factor because this is something that affects all across America, so we have to do that. We have to connect state by state in order for the higher government entities to understand the importance of this. This is not something we can, if it's over 600,000 inmates released from prison and state prisons across America yearly and county jails, and this is something that's going without the attention that's needed, I don't see why is it that we haven't joined hands yet. We have to join hands state by state.
May I
allow
you,
brother?
I'm grabbing hold of your hand. Sure, hand hold.
You know what I'm wondering with a program like that, is, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, getting Black Lives Matter and other organizations, black, not only black, brown, but also white, to contact a lot of these organizations on the outside that are fighting for criminal justice reform and trying to start some kind of a movement with all of them to talk about these things that you're talking about right now and see if they would be willing to help establish or incorporate this thing so that it's bigger and it's in unity and solidarity, and I think a lot more success will come of it.
Everything is vibing and moving and bouncing right now as we speak. And when we network with y'all network, right? And we put up, and the beautiful part is that y'all are officially conglomerated like we are, right? So y'all got the same official clearance that we got. It's just us saying they letting us structure things. And that's the beautiful part that I'm hearing and I'm seeing, right? And because they realize that they can't fix the problem, they got to let us fix it. And we've been telling them we know what to do. And that's what we're doing. And alhamdulillah, all praise be to the God, the grand architect of the universe, for allowing us and clearing the path for us to be able to express our humanity in this beautiful way.
Thank you, God. And that's a blessing.
Peace and blessing.
When
I come in real quick, I just want to let all y'all know, if y'all could, please write these two organizations down. I want y'all to look them up when you get a chance. I want y'all to check out Inmate Lives Matter. Again, Inmate Lives Matter. And you can
brother
check
Shahid
out the brother.
Omar. Brother Shahid Omar, founder of All Inmate Lives Matter.
No, not All Inmate Lives Matter. This is Inmate Lives Matter by Brother Kwame Shay Shakur. And
he's
a federal prisoner in the federal penitentiary, but he's been working with the guys out of Chicago, L.A., and New York from behind the walls of the federal penitentiary. You can find him on Facebook up under Kwame Shay, as in Che Guevara, Shakur. Again, that's Kwame Shay, C-H-E, last name Shakur. And the second organization I want y'all to write down real quick, and y'all know y'all got to bring y'all pen and paper when y'all come on the show with Sister Leona and Unk. Now, I want y'all to check out, it's called Criminal and Gang Members Anonymous, because we was just speaking about our beloved brother Reginald.
And may be monitored and recorded.
Brother Reginald was breaking down the fact that we got to start a mentor and sponsorship group where we got a 12-step program that's already built for criminals and gang members by Brother Peter Mojico out of California. And y'all can Google it or send a packet in to Brother Reginald. It's called the 12-step Mojico. Yes, sir. And we'll get that packet over to you. I already sent an inbox to the sister Leona.
That's M-E-Y?
Yeah.
Reggie, why don't you give your address and they can send you these things too? And also, I noticed you're paying quite a bit every time you call in to do the show. So, audience, even if it's $50, $50 every couple of months to help out, that would be good. Reginald, give your address so people can get in contact with you.
Well, the best way to get in contact with, because they're not letting prisoners receive physical mail. They funneling everything towards JPay. It's a part of the Securus JPay network. Through the Securus JPay network, you can type in Reginald Clemens and my prison number, 990-102. That's Reginald Clemens, 990-102. And that way you can send me emails or help me with covering these phone calls. I promise you I'll do everything that I can to do the best that I can with whatever it is you help me with.
Okay.
And now, whatever information or questions you might have.
Okay. Now, brother, you were just talking about you were giving him some information on an address. So can you give him that information now? But also, if you get it.
Peter Mionko, what's how you spell that last name?
Exactly.
Okay. Again, the organization is called Criminal and Gang Members Anonymous. Just like you got Alcoholics Anonymous, this brother in the California Penitentiary came up with this Criminal and Gang Members Anonymous group. And they go through the 12 steps of recovery from being criminalized and being criminal-minded as well as joining gangs. And so this is a 12-step program where he took it out into society out here with the rest of us out here and throughout California all the way to New York, from Texas all the way up to Chicago, Illinois, and Wisconsin. They have small sprinkling of groups that are sprouting up, especially in Minnesota. Most people don't know, but Minnesota has the biggest and the largest funding for nonprofit organizations. So y'all keep that in mind. Criminal and Gang Members Anonymous by Peter Mojico. And what we'll try to do is to get that information over to you if we got to go. Yes, sir. Mojico. It's a Spanish name. And this is a fantastic brother that was a part of the Brown Pride movement, the Brown Side, MS-13, Vato Locos, 18th Street Gangsters, all the real essays.
Okay, Mojico.
I want to know the spelling so it make it easier for me to find out about it and other people also who are listening.
Mojico?
Mojico.
Yes, Mojico. Sister Leona, I already sent it to your inbox.
Oh,
so
okay.
That way you can just go to your inbox and link it in, and if it's a way we'll send you a cash out. If you got a cash out, do you have a cash out that we can donate for you to be able to send messages in to Brother Reginald?
Oh, I can send it. I can send it through. I can send it. Oh, I can't email it to you. I mean, I can't mail it to you, Reginald.
You could because they have let your physical mail come through as an organization.
Oh, okay. So I can send it.
Thank
through,
God for that. Thank God for every small miracle because those small miracles are stepping stones to grace.
Okay.
Absolutely. Alhamdulillah. So, sister, what is your cash app? Can we get your cash app so we can send donations to you for our beloved brother?
Okay. Okay, what about the JPEG that he was talking about?
Well, you can worry about that, but we need to get a point of reference, and that way we can get funding from these guys that are calling in from behind the walls of the Georgia prison, these guys that are calling in from the streets of Georgia. Like all of our crew right here, we want to send a donation to you, and then you get it to him because you know each other. We don't know damn one of y'all. So we just want to go ahead and do something for y'all because of what y'all done did for all of us today. You understand?
Okay, you can send it to NVO Shedding Light.
N as in Nancy?
N-V, yep. N-V as in Victor.
Uh-huh.
O as in Oscar.
Okay. Shedding light. Got it. And that's money sign. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I yield the mic.
Okay. And Reginald, when I get that, I'll send that to you through JPEG?
Yeah, JPEG.
Okay. You can give me that information later. But
we'll talk later.
But the thing is, right now, the thing is getting other people involved in this project that all of you are talking about. And this is, I don't know how we could do it, but even doing a flyer, if you can do a flyer, and then we can post it all over Facebook and all over social media and try to recruit people in that way.
Yes, we can.
And Reginald.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I could set up something like a Cash App for you so that if these things can go to your Cash App and somehow... We'll have to talk about this sometime when you get
a chance. We'll figure it out. And God willing, everything will work out real smooth. And we'll be able to overcome the inhumanity of this oppression that has become this prison system of mass incarceration. And we'll be able to create a pipeline out of prison instead of a pipeline to prison.
Okay.
And you know, get back to education and job creation within this country so that we can all prosper from one another's love, one another's hard work and efforts to build better and stronger and verdant communities throughout this country.
Well, I think that we can do this, but it's just I don't want to get involved in all this financial stuff because I'm not about that, but at the same time, I don't want to see you go without. So what we can do is try to set something up for you. As far as getting people involved, we need to get in contact with a lot of these organizations that have bowed out, that were at one time active and would have been a good resource to get all of these things started. But we don't see a lot of the old-timers, I'm sorry to say it, but a lot of the old-timers in the advocacy field have either moved on or died. And the newer ones coming in are not working as hard to see these things follow through. So that's why it's good that we have these two brothers on the phone talking about it, and we have you, Reginald. So if there's some way that
it's four of us.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Joe from Montana, he's been kind of quiet.
Well, Joe dropped.
Hey, him.
Joe dropped.
Okay, Joe, Brother Hash, Unk.
Yeah.
From Georgia, and then Brother Raheem, Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah, I thank God, I thank Yah, I thank Grand Creator of the universe.
Reginald, okay, I just got it, and I'll see to it that he gets it. Thank you, brother. Reginald, I'll tell you one thing. As you would say, all praises to Allah, and I say all praises to our Creator, I just want you guys to know that I'm going to do some research to try to get organizations where I can send them to you and you can get in contact with them to try to connect with what you're doing now. Because there's people out there. We just need to know who they are and we need to do the research to get them involved. And as I said, Black Lives Matter, they sent something today and there's a lot of things going on that are...
Well, before the phone hang up, I want to say I love y'all and pray for me, and I'll pray for y'all as we begin to continue to struggle with our sweat, blood, tears. May God bless you.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
I'll tell you, this was good. Tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing... Tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing... Dave Van Veen from the Netherlands was a former prisoner who came out and wrote a book with his co-author, and her name is Marika Van Schijngels. But also, I'll be interviewing tomorrow afternoon at the same time we started tonight at 5:30 p.m. Andy Williams Jr., a brother that's running for the presidential campaign. And he's going to have on with him his vice presidential candidate as well, which is Rita Williams. So we will have Andy Williams Jr. and Rita Williams on with us tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So I hope everyone will come on and listen to what's going on there. And you brothers, I want you to connect with me on Messenger, because I'd like to get this thing straightened out, which was recently sent. And also know that we are in solidarity, and I thank you for coming on. And I'd like to have both of you say anything it is you want to say to the audience before we do close the show today. So, Brother Hess?
Yes, I want to yield the mic to my brothers down at Hancock that has the actual reentry program. Y'all brothers, come on in, family.
Okay, like I said, we appreciate this opportunity, first and foremost. Secondly, the contact information that we gave you, Dr. Diana Whatley, please reach out to her via email or social media so that we can link in all of the resources. She's open to accepting any and all resources and advice, especially dealing with this line of work. Once again, that's positiveoutreachdevelopment23@gmail.com or dianawatley@gmail.com or @dianawatley on Instagram. And like I said, we have to stand in solidarity. If there is, we would like to have the information for any other connection to this radio broadcast, so that we can correspond with any information with you all on updates and what we're going through and what you all can look forward to as far as these other states are concerned and our connection around the United States with making successful reentry possible for our returning citizens.
Now, Brother Hess, you have a radio podcast yourself, right?
No, ma'am. I ran my radio podcast from 2013 up to 2018 for 5 years. And before then, I was linked in with Awareness to Conscious Minds by Sister Queen Nucci out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I did that as a co-host from 2010 to 2013 when I started Pops Movement Radio. Yes, ma'am. Right now, I'm currently just striving to work on different programs, getting guys like these right here acclimated to what it is to work with each other, use each other's tools, and get out here on the real front lines, man, where this thing really counts at the most. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what I want to say to both of you, too, where you're doing so much, one of the things that I've done throughout the years is I registered the organization with the universities around the country. There's a lot of students, young men and women, who are going to school for criminal justice, for law, paralegal, a lot of these things, social work, psychology, a lot of them are dying to work with organizations like yours. So what you might want to do, and I can even start referring some of the volunteers I have, because I'm trying to shut down my current organization and focus solely on exposure on the radio show. But these students, they want to earn their internships, they want to gain the experience, and they're quick. I still get volunteer applicants. Register your organizations with volunteermatch.com, volunteermatch.com, even United Way, and start posting for volunteers to work in your organization with you. That's how we build. We give these people an opportunity that are in training, that are anxious to help out in any way possible. You're giving them experience, you're giving them training, you're giving them an opportunity to earn their internships and a lot of things. Also, contact the courts. Contact the courts in your area and tell them that you'd like to have, for those who are going to court for DUIs and things like that, they have to do community services. Let the courts know that you're available to allow some of these people to volunteer in your organizations, to do whatever you want, whether it be virtual or physical. A lot of them can do virtual. They can do extensive research into grants, into pro bono lawyers, pro bono criminal lawyers, pro bono post-conviction lawyers, pro bono appellate lawyers, whatever the case may be. And a lot of them can do research into organizations to connect with. So there's a lot of ways you can use these volunteers. It's going to help you and help your organization, but it's also going to help them. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sister Queen. I just want to give another shout out to our brothers from the Positive Outreach Development. And we want to thank y'all brothers for donating the $20 to Brother Reginald Clemens, as well as to Pops Movement family members for donating $19.90, you know what I'm saying, to Sister Leona, and to help to pay for this broadcast like we're all utilizing today to get this information and to spread this information. This is what we got to do, y'all. We got to be transparent. We got to always remember that in order to sow seeds, we have to sacrifice. And when we make these sacrifices, it makes moments like this become more valuable to all of us. That means that every ounce of information we got here, it meant something through the sacrifice of Positive Outreach Development as well as Pops Movement. And so I just want to thank everybody, man, that joined in from the GA. I love y'all so much, man. All the brothers behind the walls, man. Big shout out, man, to Brother Reginald, to our brother Kadar, to our brothers down at Hancock State Prison in the evidence-based program that's building reentry programs that's going to last a lifetime. Peace and love and service, Sister Quinn.
Amen. I want to thank you, but I'll tell you, don't worry about me. You know, this doing this show and exposing and bringing about and uniting and doing all the things that everybody in this country should be doing. I always say we're living in a Babylonian country because people should have that heart to come together and try to resolve issues. The media reports one-sided stories. Things happen. They don't realize every case behind those prison walls has a different story. They stereotype all prisoners. The media reports one-sided stories so that no one is getting a voice that is behind those prison walls. The communities are out there fearing, a lot of times over-fearing. But what I'm doing, I don't really need any help because this is my seed that I'm sowing. I want to thank you, brothers, for coming on. I want to thank you for what you're about. But let's work together in unity, and let's put this money that you're talking about where you need, you know it needs to go. And I'm right behind you, okay? I just want to thank you. And I'm going to tell you, audience, what you heard on this radio show today is something that should be going on around this country 24/7. We have brothers that are coming together and supporting one another, and we're hoping that you, all listening in, will do the same. So I'd like to have you, brothers, send me a message, okay, in my messenger so I can respond to you, and we're going to be on again. But I'd like to have you guys come on as a guest to talk about your thing more often as well. I will give you my number. One of you already has it, so we can share the numbers so we can maintain communication. But audience, I want to thank all of you for listening in, and I hope next time you'll get involved as well, make some calls, come on, even if you're just listening or providing feedback, even if it's criticism, because I love criticism. That's how we learn. Everything I've learned was through criticism throughout my life. So let's support these guys. Let's support those behind the prison walls, and let's try to reduce this mass incarceration that is making the United States look ridiculous, because we are the only country in the world with mass incarceration. We have 2.3 million people behind those prison walls. Many of them are being tormented and tortured. Many of them are being deprived, provoked, harassed. Many of them are kept in solitary confinement. Many of them are written up on false, bogus reports. They're just trying to keep mass incarceration because these large corporations around the country are making so much money off of the incarcerated individuals. Many have lost their families because they've been in so long. Many are wrongfully convicted. Many are first-time offenders. Many were victims before becoming offenders. People grow up in different areas, cultures. We have to know that these cultures should be looked at and understood. A lot of people in the streets grow up without fathers, or they grow up in drug-infested communities, or they grow up in single-parent homes. They grow up being abused themselves. We have to look at all these situations before we judge. Because everyone in society has some kind of sin that has either not been found out yet, or they found out they got away with it, like our current president and our former president. It's okay for some people in society who have power and money to get away with the very same things that they put people in prison for life and life without parole or death row. So we have to look at all these situations. I hope all of you will be listening in on our future radio shows. Again, I want to thank our brothers for coming on, And thank you so much, both of you. I appreciate everything that you've done today.
Sister, before we go, can we get your messenger? Because I guess we missed that part.
You can find me. I was on Facebook under Leona Abraham Brando, but what happened is I got an email one time about 3 years ago saying that someone tried to hack my get into my account, so I had to change my password. Once I changed the password, they wanted a generator code, which I couldn't get because I was locked out of my Facebook page. So I started a new Facebook page, and it's under Leona Brando. That's L-E-O-N-N-A, and it's Brando, B-R-A-N-D-A-O. The A is silent. You can find me on Messenger. You can find me on Facebook. My email address is NVOPRES@gmail.com or at Verizon.net.
Okay.
Thank you once again so much. If either one of you want to say any last-minute words to the audience before we shut down, please feel free to do so. I guess that's a no. Okay, we are now going to end this.
Well, peace and blessing, ma'am. I just want to continue to say thank you. You know, I give all praise due to the Most High God for everything that he do when he bring things together like this right here, because this is not just a radio show. This is a meeting of the minds. This is an opportunity for all of our spirits to come together and unite around truth. You know, when love comes into the picture, love produces a desire to bring truth, to bring harmony, to bring betterment. And so that's what we're doing. We're just working in the principles of life, the universal principles of life. And I just want to thank everybody that took the time out to not only just listen in, but to actually become a part of contemplating what it is that we're bringing together as potential solutions. I definitely want to give a major shout out to you, my sister queen, for actually sacrificing the things that you sacrifice in order to make this platform available to us all. And secondary, I want to definitely give a big shout out to our brother, Reginald Clemens, you know, a.k.a. Brother Kadar. That's his Muslim attribute, you know what I'm saying, for calling in from behind the wall. Because I know when I was behind the walls, you know, I would pay for those JPay calls and the Globatel link call, but them things might cost about $10 a call. And so, you know, I love the people on the radio station and stuff like that. But, you know, I would maybe call one time and jump in with Fred Hampton, then with Freedom All Radio, or I jump out there on the West Coast, or I jump up in Cincinnati with the Sign of the Times and Free Alabama Movement radio show. Like I would jump in just briefly, but that brother called in 3, 4, 5 times back to be here, man. And so major
every Monday.
To our beloved.
He does this every Monday. When he said 5 cents a minute, I was thinking 5 cents a call. But then I started thinking when he had to call back in again, I'm thinking, I said, did he say 5 cents a minute? That's why I said what I did after that. I said, because it comes out to like $3 to $5 every time. So for every show. So that's why I say it's important. But you know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this one time. It's not me. It's the Most High. We have this year, I say this year of all, our Creator is working in a big way, a major way. And all these things that have happened over in the Middle East, Ukraine, Russia, and Israel and Gaza, this isn't their thing. This is the Most High thing. Because it's going to be a world war, or it's going to be a civil war with all these things going on. And all these things is our Creator is in charge of everything, of every bit of it. So this president of this country does not need to be going over to all these countries. He needs to stay out of it. He needs to let God deal with it, because this has been going on for thousands of years. But God, right now, we have our Creator is working on something major. And everybody's saying this because so many things are happening right now. Not only abroad, but here in this country, there's a lot of things that are coming, prophecy coming to pass. So I just want to thank you again, brother, for coming on. And I want everybody to know that it's not any one person right now that's bringing all this out and exposing. It's not one person that's doing all this good stuff. It's us working in unity. And as our brother keeps telling you, all listeners, to join in, to get involved, become part of what we're doing. And hopefully we're going to see major success. Thank you so much, brother, for coming on. Thank you so much. We are now going to end this episode. I thank everyone for listening in. And again, join in anytime. The schedule, you just type in Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. It'll bring you to our website front page. It'll tell when the next show is coming, who's going to be on. It'll have past shows for those of you who weren't able to hear it this time. So thank you all for listening in, and we are now going to sign off. Again, brother, thank you for coming on, and the other one, too, that just dropped. We will talk soon.